Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with...
Ryan Rillette, Artistic Director of Roundhouse Theater.
And...
Katie DeBuise, Actor at Roundhouse Theater.
And...
Mahbood Abrahamzadeh, Actor at Roundhouse Theater.
And today, we're obviously there in here to talk Small Mouth Sounds, which is now at Roundhouse from now through September 23rd. Thanks so much for coming in, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I wanted to have you guys in here is because this is a very interesting premise here. Give them the basic premise, because it is hilarious and kind of a daring attempt at theater here.
So the play is about six people who are attending a silent meditation retreat. So you don't really hear those six people speak. They have little bits of language at the very beginning of the play and the very end of the play, but during most of the play, they never talk. The one person that does talk is the teacher, but you never see the teacher. The teacher is an offstage voice. So there's big sections of the play that are completely in silence, and then there's sections of the play where what you're seeing are people reacting to someone speaking, but you don't see the person who's speaking. So it really plays with your senses. It's also incredibly funny because, you know, anytime six damaged people, and really we should say seven because the teacher is included, seven
well,
damaged
eight, now
people.
Now that you're in here with me. You know, the most damaged of them all.
But it's a bunch of very damaged people who are at a retreat to fix themselves in some way. And so it is incredibly funny and also very touching in many places.
Awesome. Well, you know where we're going with this, especially because we're radio. Let's, in the spirit of it being silent, you know, I want to ask you guys a couple questions, and I want you to answer, as, you know, how the characters kind of would, you know, on stage. So what is your favorite part of the play? That was great. I agree. I totally agree. All right, now you, sir. Tell me about your character.
Oh.
Silence is golden here. No, the reason we're doing that, obviously, is because of the silent premise. But, all right, in all seriousness, that I can't wait to see. I mean, that it's just a different night out. Mm-hmm. Explain how that's a completely, like, if you're an audience member and there's so many great theater options in D.C., explain how just this very odd premise of the being silent makes for a unique night out at the theater.
Well, it's a... I mean, sort of the mission of Roundhouse is outstanding ensemble acting. And this is really, like, from day one, this is a group of actors who, like, we just bonded from the second we were all in the same room together. And we rehearsed this play in some sort of unconventional ways. But it's, like, it's the least boring thing I think I've ever seen. Like any scene that I'm not in, I would watch every opportunity that I had in rehearsal because there's always something very interesting happening on stage. There's always some really full emotional moment or some incredibly funny comic gesture. So it's like, and I think it asks you to lean in a little bit. So it's sort of a different way of being entertained.
Less so it's like a lean in and engage with the material rather than sit passively.
Yeah, last night at one of the talkbacks, there were a few people who summed it up really well. They said, I felt like I was at this retreat. I felt like I was on a retreat with the people in the play, and that was really cool. It was unlike anything I've been a part of.
It makes for an interesting talkback, too. The audience asks questions, and there's no answers. It's just quiet. No, you actually do talk after in the going. All right, cool. So you'll get to hear them. Explain the six characters. Like, who are these characters as they go in here? You said they're all sort of flawed, individuals, but you know, who are they?
As for me, my character Rodney, he's a as I would lovingly say a semi famous damaged yoga instructor. So his backstory is that he has a following online and he does all these yoga videos and, you know, in his spare time when he's actually running classes, he engages in extracurricular relationships with his students. And so it's a bad thing.
And he's married.
Double O.
So, yeah. So he comes to this retreat to try and figure out why he seeks the answer to his emptiness in others as opposed to within himself.
Awesome. And how about your character? What's her story?
Well, I play Alicia, and she is a former child actress who has just gone through a really difficult breakup, and is definitely at the retreat seeking a fix. She wants to be fixed spiritually. But what I will say that I do think is really interesting about this play is that Bess Wall, the playwright, provides us with these really detailed character descriptions at the beginning of the play, but also says, I don't care if these facts are communicated to the audience. Mm-hmm. So if someone were to ask me in a talk back, like, tell me the details of your character, my response would be to say, what did you see?
Right. Yeah.
Like, what do you think her deal is?
Right. Yeah.
Because we created these incredibly detailed and complex backstories for our characters based, like, saying yes and to what right. Bess provided us with in this script. But this is also a unique experience in that I don't care if anybody thinks that I'm a former child actress.
Right.
But I want them to be able to sort of layer their own story on top of whatever they're mm-hmm. seeing me do, because hopefully whatever I'm doing is truthful enough that it becomes universal
right.
so that people can relate.
Yeah, we're really more of just a blank canvas for the audience to project themselves onto.
Do you, but to that same point, though, I mean, I know you're taking what the audience is giving and letting them paint the canvas, but is there something in you doing those initial character descriptions that helps you? Does it change how you carry yourself physically on
yeah.
stage? Or what do you physically do to say child actress? You know what I mean? Like, how does that actually project?
I mean, there's different ways that we approached each character, that I worked with each actor on the character mm-hmm. that they were doing. So, you know, two of the other characters that are there, Joan and Judy, who are a married couple, their backstory, like where Joan works, where Judy works, doesn't really matter that much. What matters for the telling of the story, what matters for the audience, is that one of them has cancer. Mm-hmm. One of them is very sick. That's what's important for us to be able to communicate, yeah. that one of them is very sick, one of them is having a very difficult time dealing with the facts that the other one may be dying very soon.
Yeah.
And that's the story that we had to convey. And that is a story that is done through the physical proximity to each other, through the way they carry their bodies, you know, through essentially every other thing other than language. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys have a moment where there's no real easy way to understand why it happens, but she comes to his apartment that he's staying in, or the cabin that he stays in with another guy, Ned, to return the tissues that Ned had loaned to her earlier in the day when she was crying. And as he grabs the tissues and starts to go back in, she sort of grabs him out of great need. And he starts, as a yoga instructor, starts to help her, and it all of a sudden becomes sexual. You don't really, like, there's not a lot in the script about why that happens, mm-hmm. what that moment is really like. We had to find that in the rehearsal room and mm-hmm. figure out what exactly that meant. And that's a lot of what the play is. It was, in some ways, I think the work is more detailed than any play I've ever worked on before, because without language, when you have language, you don't need to actually do the rest of that work. I mean, the language does a lot of the work for you. Without the language, every way that, you know, every inch that you move tells a story in some way, because that's all you've got to work with.
Right. So you said there's the married couple with the cancer.
Joan and Judy.
There's the child star and the yoga instructor.
Who
are the other two?
There's also Ned, who is maybe the most unfortunate person who's there. Ned actually has a moment where he, at a Q&A, where you actually get to hear his backstory. And his backstory, I don't want to give it away, but I will just say it is a string of the most tragedies I've ever heard in any one person's life.
So he's like Job.
Yes, it's like the book of Job.
Yeah, and somehow he's still alive. And then there is Jan, and I can't really say too much about Jan because it would give it away.
Okay.
But Jan is dealing with what you learn during the course of the play is that he's dealing with the death of his son.
Okay.
But that's all I really should say about
him.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that sounds like a fun cocktail of different characters.
And the other thing is that the teacher is also, like, you know, when you think of a teacher, a guru, a meditation teacher, you think of somebody that's perfectly centered and everything is great. This teacher is not that person. This teacher is having a really rough week dealing with some very personal issues.
Is it like a hum or more of a booming voice, or is it
No, he's
more
got a very relaxed voice where he'll say things like, and now take a deep breath. But then, you know, in certain places during the thing, you
want he's to also fighting a sinus infection.
He's fighting a sinus infection. He's got a really bad cold.
Yeah.
He has something going on in his personal life. And I think the point of it is that, like, all of us suffer in our own ways. Even the people that are, you know, the instructors in the world, even the people that work on this all day, every day, we all suffer in our own ways, and you can't really escape it. And I think if there's one sort of overriding lesson that the teacher is trying to impart on all of them, and I think it's a lesson that they all learn in their own ways, and it causes them to change in some ways, is that you can't really escape it. You can't run away from it. What we do is we do things like we drink alcohol, we smoke weed, we get in fights, we do whatever.
Like during this interview.
No, yeah. No, before the interview.
Okay, that's true. Yeah, that's true. We got in a big fight.
But we do all those things in order to avoid that pain. And the teacher's lesson is you just need to sit with all of it. Mm-hmm. You just need to sit with it and make friends with it, essentially.
Right.
And they do during the course of the play.
So I'm really fascinated. How many pages is this script? Is it like 3 pages? Because if it's not much talking, is it mostly action lines? Or, you know, like, what does that actually look like on the page?
Yeah, it's mostly stage directions. Because we did a lot of exploration, but the playwright is really specific about certain things that have to happen. I mean, there is it's a play. Mm-hmm. It's a story. In a talkback that we did, I ended up saying, or an interview, I don't remember what context this was in, but it was like, this is a play. If you saw another production of this play, you would know that it's the same play.
Gotcha.
So I think it's like 60 pages.
No, it's not that long.
No.
I think it's like 28 pages.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But if you just pulled dialogue, it would probably be only a couple pages.
But Ryan did a cool thing. On the first day of rehearsal, we always read the play for the staff of the theater. And so, before we started rehearsals, it was sort of like, how do you read this play out loud to people? So he did a sort of treatment of the script where for the first day of rehearsal, we read all of the stage directions for each of our characters. And it was like surprisingly effective and funny and interesting.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What do we actually see visually then? I assume it just looks like a retreat or what, you know, what exactly is the
Can you describe
set?
The set designed by Deb Booth, I believe. Set designer Deb Booth. She kind of modeled this space it's all very sort of serene, and it feels there's a lot of wood and warmth. Okay. And then there's 6 chairs, and then there's beautiful backdrop. It's got a very sort of Eastern meditative feel to it. And so when you come to the theater and you see this, you're going to see projections of, you know, trees, of lakes, of this soft golden wood. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to see 6 very weird people sitting on stage.
And they we should say, like, they're not just in one location. The number of different locations, there's scenes that take place in their cabins.
Mm-hmm.
There are scenes that take place when they are at, in the sessions, basically, when they are listening to the teacher. There's scenes that take place out in the woods. Like, there's a scene that takes place by a lake where... Mahbood's character comes up, and Katie and Michael Glenn's character are sitting around, and he thinks that they are saying, let's go swimming. And so he just gets completely naked and goes and jumps in the water to Ned, Michael Glenn's character's great dismay. there's a lot of humor.
No nudity for the audience, though, right? Like, he's actually naked on stage? Bring it on. There we go.
For like a I've been naked on stage before. Mahbood is naked on stage for a long time.
Rodney is not. I mean, to be clear, like, this is something we.
So don't bring very young children to
No, please don't. No, but it's a very non-sexual nudity, and that's at the retreat, nudity is allowed, you know. Right. So it is more dynamic than it sounds when you talk about it. It sounds like maybe it's just, you know, people sitting there listening the entire time. Sure. There's a lot that actually takes place.
Yeah. Sounds like uproariously funny.
It's very, yeah, very funny.
I mean, yes. you're never actually sitting and watching six people meditate. You're seeing the moments before they begin meditating or the moments after they've begun or after they've finished meditating. So you're hearing sort of the lesson for the day, and then it's implied that after this, there's going to be a meditation session. But we're not going to sit there and show you that because there are more interesting things to see.
Right.
If you want to meditate and experience that, you should do it at home.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So, true.
That truly would be the most boring play on earth if you just meditated for 2 hours.
Only I love that line. Well, you should slap that on the poster, what you said. I promise, it's the least boring play you'll ever see.
Yeah.
And he bears all. literally and figuratively. Anything? What else should we know about this? I mean, we've covered a lot, but
yeah.
I guess why should our listeners come out in closing? Why should they?
I think it is a truly unique experience that is unlike any piece of theater that I have ever seen, any piece of theater that I've ever worked on. I think if you are the kind of person who can sit in a train station and just love watching the weird stranger across from you, or if you've done any of this kind of work, yoga, meditation, I think you will understand it on a very, very deep level. And it is both, for me, what I look for in a great piece of theater is something that expands my empathy as a human being. Mm-hmm. But also something that takes me on a ride. And the beautiful thing about this is you are laughing uproariously in 1 minute, and then the next minute you're unexpectedly like tearing up and you don't even necessarily know why.
I love that it does both, because a lot of shows are all the empathy thing or all the fun ride.
Exactly.
But it's so great when you get one that.
That's the beautiful thing about this is that it really, and you have six characters whose journeys you're watching, and you can't actually follow every single one because it's so fully alive. That there are times where there's simultaneous action as well.
Well, you got to come see it six times. I think that helps.
Yes, but we actually have had people already see it like 3-4 times because they come back and every time they see something new.
Yeah,
and it's that kind of play.
Yeah,
so that's why I would say.
That's awesome, guys. Well,
plus Mabut's naked.
I am
super naked. Six times for that.
I mean, I stripped down to my bra and underwear.
I was just be careful with the phrasing.
Yes,
when you say come six times to see Mabut naked.
That's why I immediately said I'm funny. I did not even mean that. That is great. You guys are hilarious. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Again, guys, it's Small Mouth Sounds at Roundhouse Theater now through September 23rd.